I wanted to create the next generation of casual dining, a restaurant that featured fantastic scratch cooking, incredible craft beer, craft cocktails in this warm kind of small mountain town environment. Hi, this is Chris Sims from Lazy Dog Restaurants, and I am on the road with Dane on WGN. Don't hide away.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and on the line with us now is a guy behind the concept that brings together a few things that people absolutely love, whether it's in the two locations here in the Chicagoland area or the over 30 around the country. Started in California back in 2003. It's Lazy Dog, and excited to have on the founder and CEO, the one and only Chris Sims. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, it's great to have you on, number one, because we can vicariously live through you on the weather side. You know, we know that you're in a good place in California at this point, although you do travel all over the place. We did mention, you know, we're open to weather. You know, we can deal with tough weather. Mentioned that a few things that people love, whether it's food, certainly beer, and dogs, right? And I know it's not a dog restaurant, so we want to let people know, because we've got dog spas at, you know, around town. We've got dog lounges at the mall. So it's not that. So listeners, don't just load up the whole pack and head over. But certainly dogs are part of the inspiration, the name, the superhero origin story for Chris Sims. So let's hear how it all started.
Gosh, well, let's see. I was born into the restaurant business. My dad started a group of restaurants called Mimi's Cafe. I'm actually third generation restaurateur, as my grandfather was also in the business. And so I got my first job in the hospitality business at 14 years old, decided to go and study that at Cornell University up in upstate New York. So I am well aware of cold and snowy winters. And then I started Lazy Dog just about 18 years ago. And I wanted to create the next generation of casual dining. I wanted to create a restaurant that featured fantastic scratch cooking, that had incredible craft beer, craft cocktails, and did so in this warm kind of small mountain town environment. We spent a lot of time growing up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and so I wanted to bring a little taste of Jackson Hole to everybody down here in Southern California.
So Huntington Beach is where you guys are from, so a big departure in a bunch of different ways, whether it's the vibe or a lot of the different things for Jackson Hole and then California where you were living. You mentioned craft, and one of the things that's about it, and the listeners will know this when they get a chance to get out there, is even though it is a concept and you have a bunch of locations, the food is not cookie cutter at all. We got a chance to try some of the selections. And so talk a little bit about some of those. The lamb shank, pot pie, I know that's new. That was absolutely awesome. You got the bison meatloaf. We tried the ahi tuna. So it isn't just mountain food, right? There's an eclectic blend of things. What do you guys have? What are you most proud of? And where do you get the ideas for the things you bring in?
Yeah, so I like to call the two portions of our menu. The first one is craveable classics. And those are those comfort foods that everybody knows and loves and grew up with. But our chef partner, Chef Gabriel, we hired him 20 years ago. He's been with us since day one. He came from the Ritz-Carlton, so he understood this higher level of culinary technique. And so he brings that higher level of culinary technique to Lazy Dog, and he's able to take these classic dishes and make them absolutely craveable. Now, the other side of the menu is what I call approachable innovation. And so Gabe and I will go, and we'll go into downtown Chicago, we'll go to the Girl and the Goat, and we'll start tasting food, and we'll find a dish that we absolutely love. And it's probably pushing the edge of innovation down in the city. Well, we love to take that type of a dish, we'll bring it back to Lazy Dog, and we'll make it approachable. And so that's where this approachable innovation comes from. And that way people get to try things that they've never tried before, and they do so in this warm, safe environment.
What's kind of cool is that you're able to take it, and that's part of, I think, the strength of a chain, is that people can have things that are predictably good, right, or predictably as they expect them, no matter where it is that they go or what location. What's cool about it is that you're a real person. You know, you're not a corporate board, and you're looking at things. You have that restaurant background, so you know what resonates with you on the food side, and also you can kind of keep your hand on the pulse of some of those trends and kind of bring in things that are really cool. And you mentioned the fine dining side. That is like, that's something, and you gotta, I'll tell the listeners right now, is although it may feel like when you describe it, concepts that may exist, there is something totally different. Like the thought process and just, I think the thoughtfulness on the food side is really there. Like everything is elevated. It may say meatloaf, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, when we started, it was funny because, you know, Chef Gabe was used to using ingredients that were specially picked up in the middle of nowhere and you know, all this really expensive ingredients. And I said, you know, Gabe, like Lazy Dog has to be affordable. It has to be achievable for everybody. And so therefore, I want you to bring those incredible techniques that you have and use a basket of just great normal ingredients, just fresh produce, great meats, great cheeses, but it's all got to be approachable. It's got to be affordable. And so that's what he did. And I'll tell you, I am so proud of the food that we serve and the drinks that we make. I'm happy to put us up against any restaurant.
So when it comes to the venues, and that is one of the predictable things where you're trying to replicate the vibe and the feeling that you had for the first restaurant. Of course, now everybody's doing different things and you've got options there at Lazy Dog as well, whether it's, you know, takeout, doing a ton of business there and tents and outside stuff. But yeah, but if you had to describe it, right, because it is a little bit of a tweener, right? It's a little different. It's, you can certainly go there and there's TVs. You can enjoy a game. You know, you encourage people to be regular customers. You've got like the beer club and everything associated with it. But if you had to describe sort of the mindset on the venue itself, I mean, there is a big bar, obviously beer and all that is part of it, but it's like a regular kind of restaurant for families at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. The decor that we wanted to go for was contemporary rustic, and it's the warmth and, the quality and the texture that you get from a rustic kind of log cabin or a ski chalet. But then I wanted there to be a contemporary twist to it. And so that comes with some of the cleaner lines and the architecture and some of the finishes. And so you end up with this environment that is very welcoming, very inviting, but also a little cool. You know, it has a little bit of a current feel to it. And then that, you know, that way people feel comfortable and they want to come on a regular basis.
With all the challenges that are out there, of course, the rustic contemporary, it sounds like a conflict, but but you're doing a bunch of different things too that I think just as those businesses that have been able to, whether it's be successful or survive, you know, and then there's, you know, some of the silver linings that are out there and opportunities, whether it's the ghost kitchens or different concepts. And we've done a number of different stories and interviews about, you know, restaurants or iconic names that, you know, you love, but then they're trying something different. So Jolene's, here's the thing too. So Chicago is, we love our wings and we've got some great establishments and of course we're very familiar with it, right? So this isn't something from outer space. We get wings and we know when they're good, but I think Chef Gabriel, and fill us in a little bit on the mindset for that, because we get it from the ghost kitchen side because it's something everybody kind of knows, likes, and they're probably from a restaurant perspective sort of easy to do, but these are not, you know, cookie cutter wings. You know, this isn't just, you know, a dust flavor on it and then giving some people, you know, some blue cheese and some other things that we would normally be pretty much okay with. I mean, whether it's the garlic parm or the, I think there's a Thai chili, and then, I mean, they're not really wings. They're really, you know, something I think different and pretty special.
Well, you know, just like everything that we do at Lazy Dog, you know, when we developed Jolene's, we wanted to make sure that it was there for the long haul. And so therefore we needed to make sure it had the Lazy Dog stamp of approval on it. And so, yeah, there's definitely more of a culinary twist to the sauces that we toss the wings in, and we're still innovating. Actually, we've got a whole list of different flavors and different sauces that we're going to try over the next couple of years. But, you know, Jolene's was really inspired by this incredible kind of demand for wings in our late night business. You know, we saw this great crowd of people coming into the restaurants every night, and they're ordering wings and they're ordering our craft beer that we brew with Melvin Brewing. And we said, you know, I think there's an opportunity to create our own brand where we can go out and we can sell wings and beer to a different crowd that may not even know about Lazy Dog. And that's where Jolene's was born. And we wanted it to be close to the heart. We have a mobile home, a 1975 GMC mobile home named Jolene that we bought a couple of years ago. And we said, let's name it after Jolene and let's make it this brand for the future. Like it's really fun.
One part of it would be pivoting, kind of surviving, augmenting, making use of the kitchens, and then having something that could be that concept that's a little bit mobile. So what do you see for this? Because I got to tell you, when you talk about trying to create craveable stuff, the wings are outstanding, you know, and maybe, you know, just the thought process on the dipping sauces and just the ingredients. I don't know if it's the kind of thing that has taken on a life of its own. I'm not sure how successful the concept has been, but do you see there being separate, like maybe standalone Jolene's, or is this something as the pandemic goes away, you know, maybe Jolene's goes away too, or is this going to be around for the duration?
Yeah. You know, we have been so careful during the pandemic to make sure that everything that we create has the ability to be successful post-pandemic. And so, you know, we created one of the first things we created was our TV dinners. And we knew that there was a group of people that were in their homes that were afraid to come out of their homes, but wanted like great, fresh comfort food. And so we created our TV dinners, and we make them in our restaurants, and we freeze them, and then we sell them through DoorDash, or we sell them to go, and people are loving them. And that is something that will last forever.
Was that something, Chris, that maybe you thought of, certainly from the restaurant side, but maybe, you know, from as you become more things to more people, maybe there's a grocery store or maybe some sort of, you know, outlet for those, because it is, but it's still really authentic too. It isn't like you're just thinking of things that can kind of augment the business. There's a lot of authenticity and kind of personal nostalgia built into all of them. There's a lot of frozen food out there. Like what was the idea with the TV dinners? Because of course I remember them, you know, in the Salisbury steak and all of those great selections that you can get. And I remember them fondly. I don't know if I, you know, if I had those same ones now, I'd be like, yeah, these are awesome. But like, what was the idea to package it that way, to market it that way, and to kind of go that retro route?
You know, number one, it all comes from, you know, the way we look at things is we look at need states. We say, okay, here's our group of guests. What do they need? You know, what do they need right now? And we felt and we knew that there was a group of people who just didn't want to leave their homes, but they were looking for great food that they could just warm up themselves. And so that's where the TV dinner idea was born. And then, you know, we've really been doing a lot of nostalgia over the last few years, and we've found that people love it. We've really connected with a lot of new guests because of the nostalgic dishes we've put on the menu and some of the approaches we've taken with some of our new things. And so when we were looking at TV dinners, we said, well, heck, I mean, this is like the ideal nostalgic moment. And I said, all of us kind of around the table grew up sitting in front of the TV, eating our TV dinners. And we said, this is perfect. Like, let's really go retro with this. I think it's going to hit not only those people who grew up with them, but then I think it's going to be cool for the people that didn't, and that this is actually new. And that's exactly what we found. It's really cool.
There's so much about our childhoods, or at least mine, right? Whether it's like how the phones work and that they were attached to the wall or access to music on demands. When I explain it to kids and I talk about the past, they say, that's dumb. Why would you want to do it that way? So hopefully the TV dinners from Lazy Dog can pave a new path and support for the Wayback Machine. So before we let you go, we want to talk a little bit about the locations here in the Chicagoland area. So you've got 30 plus, and so you're out there and you're doing all that recon and trying to find places. Why the Chicagoland area? And then like, where else? I know a lot of things in the pandemic been put on hold, but for 2021, where do you see Lazy Dog going?
Yeah, you know, Chicago, the reason why we went to Chicago was because my dad was born there. That's where he grew up for the first first bit of his life. Then they moved out here to California. So Chicago has always been near and dear to my heart. And when we were taking a look at the country, and we said, okay, where do we want to expand to? we knew that the Chicago market appreciated great food and also appreciated the mountains, because we have a lot of friends in Jackson Hole there from Chicago. There seems to be kind of a natural attraction to the Rocky Mountains. And so we said, you know, I think that people in Chicago are going to appreciate our concept. And lo and behold, when we opened up Vernon Hills, it literally took off from day one, and it hasn't looked back. Even during the pandemic, the residents in Vernon Hills and in Naperville have been so supportive. They have ordered takeout when it was takeout only. They've been on our patios. They've been in our tents. Now they're, thank goodness, they're able to eat inside the building. But they have been so supportive. And, you know, as we look at 2021, obviously, you know, the pandemic put a little bit of a damper on our growth, but we are definitely looking forward to getting growth going again as soon as possible. We've got a couple of deals in the Chicagoland area that we're excited about getting started on. And so hopefully we can get those projects started towards the end of the year and get growth going again.
Well, you guys are hitting on a lot of different things. I mean, the concept and, of course, the innovation and some of the ways that you're approaching the challenges that everybody's facing. But then also the food is really good. And at the heart of it, I think that's what's going to keep people excited about it, keep people coming back. And the venues, too. And as we get into 2021, we hope that we'll be able to kind of head out there, maybe bring some listeners, maybe a few dogs. Who knows, right? There's a place for them. You know, they've got their own, like, area. And they've even got maybe a menu item or two for the dogs. So we'll keep people posted on that as well. And so as we let you go, if there's a website or social media where people can get information about the beer club or new locations or cool things happening with Lazy Dog.
Absolutely. Well, we are looking forward to the next beer club release and looking forward to having more of our guests sign up. I can't wait to get back to Chicago. My wife's family is from Chicago, so she's always begging me to get back there as often as possible, and I love it.
Yeah, it'll be great to have you in studio, just as fans and listeners love to get out to those locations. It'll be great to have you in town and in studio here at WGN. So let you get back to it, making things happen, secretly visiting the locations, and you know, quality control and all that. And thanks, Chris, so much for jumping on the show today.
All right, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. Where are you going?